Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippian Christians from chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. These are the words. In the name of Jesus Christ, whose cross divides humanity, fellow redeemed in his blood, who would you say are the greatest enemies of Christianity and the message of Christ crucified? Is it those who blatantly oppose and speak maliciously against Christians? Those who behead and kill Christians in third world countries? Who seek to put to death anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ? Or is it those who give mere lip service to Christianity, who claim to be Christians, but by their actual lives, by their words and actions, give Christ and his word a black eye and lead others away from him, not to him, by that hypocrisy? It may seem to us that the greater enemy is the former, not the latter. We may think to ourselves that the worst enemy of the church speaks like it does in the Quran. Quote, make war on them until idolatry is no more and Allah's religion reigns supreme. Kill the disbelievers wherever we find them, murder them, and treat them harshly. End quote. The so-called religion of peace known as Islam calls upon its true believers to do bodily harm to Christians and all of those who do not believe in Islam and the false God, Allah. We would be right in calling such enemies of the cross of Christ. But when the Apostle Paul speaks in these words of the enemies of the cross, he's not thinking of blatant unbelievers. Rather, he's thinking of the second group, of hypocrites, of those who may even call themselves Christians, but by their words and actions deceive and lead people away from Christ. These two are properly enemies of the cross. While the former may seek to take the earthly lives of those who believe in Christ, in doing so they only speed them to their heavenly home. The latter may lead people to depart from Christ and lose their inheritance and not be counted among his own. May God the Holy Spirit impress upon our hearts this morning through this word of God that Christ is our master, and his word and his will and his way are always to be our priority and our focus, because there are both friends and enemies of the cross of Christ. Amen. We really have to face it. We live sheltered lives here in the United States. The laws of the land protect our faith and its free exercise. The prospect of death because of our faith in Jesus is really remote. We might even be tempted to think that there really aren't that many enemies of the cross, people who live as opponents, of the salvation accomplished by Jesus. We might think that way, except that God's word tells us that there are, and there have been, many enemies of the cross. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. So, shall we hand out weapons after church? No. We aren't told about the enemies of the cross so that we go on the offensive and seek, like Islam, to do bodily harm to those who oppose the message of the cross. In point of fact, the truth that there are enemies of the cross should move us and affect us like it did the Apostle Paul. It should fill us with sorrow and not with anger. After all, our God, the one true God, would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He tells us that much in His Word. We are not called upon to be judge, jury, and executioner. We'll leave it to our God to do the judging. It is only laid before us to judge among us those actions that are in opposition to Christ's stated word and will. That's why it's important that we recognize the enemy. And in order that we may learn to recognize the enemy, the Apostle Paul describes them here for us. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. It's easy to think of certain terrorists as our enemies. After all, they have sought to and have been successful at times in killing Americans. But it is admittedly more difficult to think of some of our fellow Americans, likable as they may be, that they are really enemies of the cross. The Word of God before us tells us that the enemies of the cross serve not the Lord Jesus, but their own bellies, their own earthly desires. While some may even claim to believe in Jesus, they do not live according to that word of the Savior. Paul says that the enemies of the cross are not Christ-centered, but are self-centered. They're not only self-centered, but they're proud of it. They see their selfish attitudes as something that is to be emulated, something of which to be proud. So on the outside, they may appear to be Christian, but their sole object in life, the sum and substance of their thinking and planning, is always satisfying their own desires. Self-gratification is their glory, their greatest prize, their daily goal. And Paul says their end is destruction. Does that description kind of scare you? I know it scares me, because I see in myself the inward desire to be first, to be the center of my own little universe. I'm most satisfied when I get what I want, when I feel good about me. I find in my own heart the earthly desire to seek after earthly things. Not that Christ be glorified or others served, but for me. God forgive me. God forgive us for being self-centered and proud of it, earthly minded and quick to excuse it. God grant us His grace that we fully trust in Him and instead exhibit the attitude of warriors for Christ rather than enemies against it. We need to remember, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. What a tremendous contrast. On the one hand, the apostle tells us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the enemies of the cross set their priorities and interests right here, right now, on the earth. But the friends of the cross, his allies, have their thoughts directed heavenward. Because their citizenship is in heaven, they are citizens above. The friends of the cross say with the Apostle Paul later on in the same letter, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's the attitude of a friend of the cross. And that's the attitude that we have, having been made citizens of heaven by Christ. Our business isn't merely preparing for this life. Our business is sharing what Christ has done, that others may join us in rejoicing in Him. Instead of merely eagerly waiting for the next day and our own self-enjoyment, we eagerly wait for the opportunity to talk to someone in need, perhaps someone grieving over the death of a loved one, someone dealing with a tragedy in life, to have the opportunity to tell them about the real solution for sin, the real solution for eternal death is to be found in Christ's cross. We are passers-by in this world. We don't like to think about it, but we're all headed to the grave. We subscribe wholeheartedly to the admonitions of our Lord like this one. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." We take care of the present without making it primary, without taking our eyes off of Jesus. We take care of the present without forgetting what we are by faith in Christ, citizens of heaven. While the enemies of the cross will find destruction, we look for a bodily transformation instead. Which is a good thing, especially with all the aches and pains that we endure day by day. We know that our earthly bodies, now subject to weakness, decay, and even death, will one day be made like His glorious resurrected body. That's why it's written, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We've been reminded recently about the reality of this, that this confidence, this assurance comes to us from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The message that He rose again the third day is not merely hopeful thinking. It is the foundation of our faith. It is because Jesus rose from the dead physically, bodily, revealed Himself to His disciples, showed them His hands and His feet, that we can be assured of His promises to us. That we too will be raised from death. That these bodies will be made like His resurrected body. And our home in the heavens is even now being prepared. God forbid that we should ever lose our focus and forget that we are strangers here and that heaven is our home. God forbid that we should be turned aside from Christ and instead become enemies of the cross. On my heart imprint thine image, blessed Jesus, King of grace, that life's riches, cares, and pleasures have no power thee to efface. This the superscription be, Jesus crucified for me is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. May God grant that you and I always remain children of God and friends of the cross. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.